This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And that's kind of like that weather pattern that we usually get into this time of year. We expect it. And we're talking about the weather playing on some events Wednesday night, the second night with NASCAR being back. And the start was delayed a little bit by rain. Well, and then it was ended early by rain.
Well, see, that was the other thing I was going to tell you, because I've talked to you about the NASCAR that's gone on this past week. I sat down and watched Kevin Harvick get the win Kevin Harvick won last Sunday.
Yeah.
And man, there was a restart late in that race because it looked like it was going to be kind of close there, and then he just pulled away in the last like 8 or 9 laps. It was not much of a competition. But I didn't check out Wednesday night when Denny Hamlin won. And you're saying it was rain delayed, but night racing at Darlington, that's
night
something
racing
special.
Was big. It was something special. And when we talk, and Adam Alexander is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, we talked about, well, you know, how special it was that NASCAR had something to keep their fans engaged with the esports element before you came back to live racing. Now you come back with these nighttime races in prime time. And this evening's race of Coca-Cola 600 will start at 6 o'clock. That's when it usually starts. It usually starts in daylight, ends with darkness. But Wednesday night was everything you want to see in something prime time, Greg. You had a lot of lead changes, great competition as far as that went. You had a very popular driver bumped by another popular driver that tends to wear the black hat sometimes. Kyle Busch got into Chase Elliott, our homeboy, who Chase looked like he could have had the car to win the race. And I think that's what got a lot of people upset. I was texting with somebody at the time who was absolutely livid that Kyle Busch, of all people, because everyone knows how he drives. He likes to try to steal a page or two out of the Dale Earnhardt Sr. book. You know, if he's going to be a little aggressive and bump you, he's going to do that. And so that's the thing. Well, once Chase Elliott gets bumped out, he waits for him to come around and around the track, and he gives him the bird on TV. So everybody's seeing that happen. Meanwhile, back on the track, Denny Hamlin gets to the lead. And he's there when they throw the red flag because the rain has come back and they stop the race. He puts on a mask, which all the drivers, when they're not driving, they wear their masks when they get out of their cars, as do all of the crew, all the people in the pit crew. And he had a mask that was a smile. It was like his face within a smile in the mask that he put on, which was like tremendous. I mean, playing on something that they have to do. He did it that way. Well, while he's doing that and the cars were standing still, the crew chief for Kyle Busch is sitting next to the crew from Chase Elliott. And they're having some choice words with each other. The network microphone dropped in there and heard a few things. And so people dropped a couple of F-bombs. And one of the guys on Elliott's crew was so hot, he had taken his shirt off.
Was he sitting there yelling, "Oh, somebody hold me back, somebody hold me back," one of them kind of deals?
Yeah, man, it really was. And so it ended, the night ended with some of that. That was, and you always talk about, Greg, how something needs a rivalry, something needs a little nastiness. And, Kyle Busch has gone on social media and he's apologized. It wasn't anything malicious or intentional. It was accidental. But, man, don't you know, that's something that they caught a lot of people's attention and said, oh, boy, is this what this nighttime racing is going to be all about? Yeah. It was pretty good entertainment.
Going back to the days of Carroll Yarborough and what's his name, A.J. Foyt and them boys. Used to get out the car and fight David Pearson and Bobby Allison and all them.
Well,
listen, take a page from what we saw this last few weeks. People 30, 40 and under that are in sports are seeing what real rivalries were like. And we've been, again, not to go back to it, but it's the Well, it's the nearest example of the last 5 weeks. We watched this last dance, and we were reminded what a true rivalry was like between them Bulls and Pistons.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And what that can mean and how it solidifies the base from those two cities. And we've seen that before, as you said, with drivers when it comes to NASCAR. Any of sports, you got to have that yin and the yang, because a lot of times, one of the teams may not be that good, but they're going to be playing so-and-so this week. When the Bears and the Packers always play, you know, for the last X amount of years, it's been Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on top of the Bears. But every once in a while, Bears will sneak in with a halfway decent team. But you're watching it because of those rivalries. You're watching, you know, Alabama and Auburn and all those. So, again, there's some nastiness that we would rather not see. But if you're a sports fan, you want to see it because you know it intensifies that rivalry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I think what a lot of people saw at, and they're going to tune in this evening to see if they see a little bit more of that. And of course, we're missing one racing event. The Indy 500 has been moved to August. They're going to move that. They're going to have that event. I think August 23rd is the date they moved for the Indy 500. So normally, this is your longest day of auto racing in America, obviously, with the 500 in Indianapolis and the 600 at Charlotte for stock cars. So that's a little different this time around. But you know what? You know that fans are not there. Went there in Darlington, and you watched and you say, you got into the competition. And you see the drivers are putting that best effort out there. They've been waiting to get back out there, and the teams have been waiting to get back out there. They're going to go out and compete extra hard, even though they're not people in the stands. Now, Greg, I found out something, and I want you to pay attention to this, because I've said this about a lot of different sports, including football. No.
I just like the fact that you told me you got to pay attention to me. Like, oh, now I got to listen to you. Doggone it. All right, go ahead.
Pay attention. Today, this week in Charlotte, when they race, there'll be people at the race.
Fans?
There will be people, fans, whoever, just like Atlanta Motor Speedway, which is owned by the same company.
Right.
There are condos. Those people in those condos are going to get to go to the race.
Okay.
In Charlotte today.
Okay.
And they have an article about one lady who has a condo, and all of a sudden she's got thousands of best friends who want to come over, hang out in their condo at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and they're going to be allowed to come in. And why? Because you can control that environment, Greg. You can control who goes in and out. You don't have to go out and wait at concession stands. You're going to get everything you want. And that plays directly into what I have thought, not confirmed, but what I have thought about the NFL. People will be able to go. Those folks are going to be able to go to the games, I believe.
Just because people with condos around stadiums?
Just people who have the people in the boxes and suites, the VIP people, will be able to go.
See,
to games.
Here's the thing with that. I think that the other way is safer than being crowded up in a box. And you know that level that all the suites are on.
You're going to keep the number down. You're going to regulate the number of people that come in, Greg. You're not cramming thousands of people into somebody's suite.
If I had my choice, I'd rather stay in a suite. But given this particular time that we live in, if I'm in a stadium, I get myself in a nice area that ain't got, you know, shaded or whatever. But there's a lot of commotion that goes on that level. In other words, the spacing on that level where the suites are is not going to be as easy to keep the distance as opposed to if you're out in the stadium and you have –
I think you're going to control the number of people that come in. You're not letting thousands of people into a suite.
I understand the thousands part, but even if it's 50 people. Okay?
Not that many people. That's why I'm saying.
All the suites. I mean, if there are 10 suites. Okay?
I think that's very doable.
You're going to
take people's temperatures when they come in. They're not going out to stand at concession stands. Their restroom's in there. Their food's in there. And you're going to limit the number of people that come in. I think what's going to happen today with NASCAR is going to be able to happen with some other sports. That's all I'm saying. If you got condos, if you got a suite, you know, at the stadium, then you're going to be able to go to the game.
So the corporate people and the rich folks can get to go because they have
suites.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it. You said what you said, and this is how that comes to me. Yeah. Right, if I'm listening right now, that sounds like the corporate folks and the rich folks are going to be able to go because they're the only ones who have access to the suites.
They're
I'm just telling you, that's
ones.
How that comes across.
They could be people who they could be people who work there.
Different.
There's a lot
that's
of people who work at a lot of people who work for certain companies and businesses on certain weeks. They get an opportunity for box tickets or suite tickets.
Yes, that's
so it
true.
Won't be
and
just,
a perfect,
you know what I mean? So
in a world. In a world where the bosses don't normally go, but the bosses haven't been able to go. So you know them first seats are going to go to the executives connected with whoever owns that box. You know that. It's like they show up for the opening day of baseball and you don't see them again until unless the team shows makes it to the playoffs or World Series. And then they start handing out tickets. Oh, you want to go see the
I
Dodgers?
I believe that you them know, folks are going to go to the – I believe those folks are going to go to the games. You just start of the day. I mean, you can't in her situation, just a condo. You can't kick her out. You know, the lady
so where are they located? Are they like right on the other side,
they're
outside, or
they're
inside?
Turn one. They're in turn one, just like they are at Atlanta Motor Speedway. They're in turn, well, not turn one, but you're coming into turn four. You're coming into turn four, like you're headed for the start-finish line. The condos are right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that's a great view. You've been in the condos at AMS before, right?
I've been fortunate enough to be in Ed Clark's office, and it might as well be a condo.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you, and
his
suite too.
I've been in those. You sit down
you get
at
the
tables,
best view.
You're eating your meal off of china and tablecloths, and that type of thing. It's really nice.
Yeah, you know? Last time I was up there, I got a heads up from Jeff Blauser of all people. Jeff Blauser and Diana DeGarmo. The girl who came in second, I think it was the first year, second or third,
Pride of Shiloh High School.
American Idol. Mm-hmm. But I understand what you're saying, and that's a great get if those people can get there, but that's not really opening up. And they're still concerned. They're still concerned.
There are people who are going to get to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're the privileged ones who get to go first and be the first guinea pigs because that's the word or that's the phrase people don't want to hear because now we are going to monitor everybody who goes to these events. Dana White had his event. He had some hiccups. Had three people that tested positive, okay? So the next one is going to be scrutinized even more, and those people that went to those events are going to be tested right afterwards. These are the guinea pigs, these first frontliners that go to events as fans or workers. And
I won't say we call them guinea pigs, man.
They're going to be monitored. They're going to see how medical people want to know how they're being affected if they've got it being out there like that. So we have got that. Hey, Sam, did I tell you we got a Renaissance man coming up?
Next hour.
Yes, we do. We're also going to hear from Falcons Thomas Dimitroff throughout the show. But let's talk more about some of these sports that are going to be opening and also on the high school level.
We talk about that, too.
I'm going to need your expertise, Mr. Crenshaw. That is coming up next, talking high school sports openings. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Remember, check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, check us out also on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Mr. Crenshaw, Monday. Do you know what it was on Monday?
Something
happens every year, and it happened again this past Monday, and it's been going on for a number of years. But in fact, I think until 2034, it was Bobby Bonilla Day. For those of you who don't know, Bobby Bonilla, you need to look him up and Google him. He was would you say Bobby was great or just shy of great as far as a player, baseball player?
Sure, that. And he was a major factor and a guy that was big. We got to know him really well here in Atlanta because with him playing with Pittsburgh and then with the Mets and then for a time here.
Yes, he was.
We got to know him.
But Bobby Bonilla restructured his contract years ago toward the end of his career. In fact, you know who he got the idea from? It was Brett Saberhagen. And he deferred his contract, and because of the way he did it, and the Mets at that particular time were going through issues with Bernie Madoff, of all people, Bobby's going to get paid. So Bobby now is making infinitely more than his contract was supposed to pay him. And
I don't understand why more guys don't do that.
Well, it was a lot of timing too. Again, it had to do.
Yeah,
the Mets put themselves in
a
position.
Why more guys don't do that? Then when you're done playing, you ain't fretting and sweating and I can't tell people how to run their business. But I don't see why more guys don't do that.
Well, you're not going to get the deal he got. You could defer money.
Defer money. I mean, unless you really, 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 really got to have it all right now, this minute. You know, do that. I got to say something too. When he was
It's just over $1 million, and Bobby Bonilla is going to get just over $1 million every year until, I think it's 1 year after Bryce Harper's 13-year contract ends. Just wrap your mind around that. And Bobby Bonilla been out of baseball since what, 2000?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Well, about 2000. It wasn't about 2000. Maybe about 2004, something like that, about 2004.
So anyway, go ahead. I just want to get that out. So he's going to get paid. He's just sitting back getting $1 million every year until the mid-2030s. That's a great agent.
It really is a great agent. Is. That's true.
Anyway, what were you saying, Mr. Crenshaw?
No, when he came to play, you hear about certain players and certain come in and you got to give yourself up to say, whoa, how's this guy going to be to deal with? Because you had heard that he could be moody or whatever, some, guys. And he came in and he couldn't be better. He could not have been better, man. He was just he had some problems with the people in the front office where he was. But when he got here, he was the coolest guy to deal with, in clubhouse and talking. And so it was neat. And he was on the team during the time of all the fracas and stuff with John Rocker. And his locker room was right next to Rocker's. And all the media would come around and question Rocker about why you do this, why you do that. He would be standing there laughing and joking the whole time.
Yeah, because he knew he was getting that check at the end of the year.
Well, not just that, too, but I guess because when you play in a place like New York and everybody's under magnifying glass, and with him getting paid what he was, I'm sure he got immediate. He was probably just happy to see somebody else getting that and not him, And so he just sat there and just laughed and just, the whole time with it. But he was a cool guy to have in town and play a good – if you're trying to be a good teammate and a cool guy for the media to deal with.
It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. And apologies to my two coworkers, Jahi and Sam. I was supposed to start off the segment talking about something else. We'll revisit our most grateful. I want to also remind you, we're going to hear from Thomas.
We also came back with some music from After 7, and we didn't mention Melvin Edmonds.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
He passed away this week, someone we lost this week at age 65. He's the brother, of course, of Babyface. And in the group After 7. So that's what we came back with, a little bit of their music. We may hear a little bit more of it as we go along this morning at age 65. Just folks that we're losing.
We'll get into that. And this morning, even. I was getting ready to talk about one person, and then we got news this morning about somebody we'll get back to. So we'll also let folks know what we're most grateful for during this time. But Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. What I do want to get into is you sort of opening the blinds on what may or may not happen with high school sports. We've been talking about colleges and talking about pros, but Mr. Crenshaw, people acquiesce to you when it comes to what's going on in the world of high school sports and any kind of movement going on there. So what's the latest?
We've heard a lot of things during the last couple of weeks, a lot of things. I mean, earlier this week, before the High School Association made their ruling, Fulton County Schools came forward and put the squash on games against out-of-state opponents. There are a number of Fulton County high schools that had games against out-of-state opponents early in the schedule. Like I think September 4th was the week that they were supposed to have the Freedom Bowl, a series of games up at Milton High School. They were supposed to have the Cam Newton event that he puts on with high school teams playing against Fulton County schools, against schools from out of state. They said no for a number of reasons. People said, well, what's the difference in the team come over the state line? Of course, you don't know what type of specifications they've had as far as their testing and that type of thing. But also, these games may or may not be played anyway. You know what I mean? Right. You may get down to the point where these are going to be non-region games. These games won't factor into who makes the state playoffs. And so Fulton County Schools decided to do away with those games. And they will probably play each other rather than another Fulton County school will play against another Fulton County school that's not on their schedule. on that day rather than the out-of-town schools. Of course, when we think about out-of-town schools, we think also about the Corky Kell.
That's what I was going to bring
Hoover,
up.
Alabama. Hoover, Alabama is supposed to come. As far as we know, Corky Kell is still happening. The 7-on-7 isn't happening, but the series of games that annually kick off the season are due to happen. Now, to the GHSA, who had this meeting that everybody tried to go online and watch on Thursday, the Board of Trustees, the Georgia High School Association, met, and everyone was expecting them to come out and name a date that they could allow high school athletes to return to their facilities at their schools, because no one has been allowed into their facilities at all during this time. The coaches have been there. They've been having meetings. They've been doing things to keep the players engaged. Everyone was looking at June 1st to be the date. Wrong. June 8th is the date. June 8th is the date in our state that student athletes can return to work out, not have full practices, not bring the whole team, but to schedule maybe at this time, this day, your linebackers come in, or at this time and this day, your running backs come in. Something that would stagger it, and also it gives those school systems, because not all will go on June 8th. Some will wait till the week after to get their facilities set up with a little separation and whatever equipment they may have, so they can still observe distancing, things in place so they can still monitor temperatures, things in place so they can still sanitize. Because, you know, high school locker rooms ain't known for being the most clean, you know.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, no.
I'm messing with you. No, it's true.
When guys are practicing, you know what I mean? Guys are like guys, you know what I mean? So yeah, you're going to have to do some cleanup, and you got to have some people around to do that in order not just for the players to have the confidence, but old Rail Greg, the people we never hear talked about when we hear talk about football returning for high school and college, parents. Parents have to be comfortable with what's going on.
That's where I was going to go. All these decisions made by the schools and districts and cities and whatever can all be shut down if, as you like to say, mama don't want a baby playing football or this particular sport.
But not just that, but any particular sport, any of your fall sports you come in. So they're going to allow, you know, all your fall sports to come in and prepare like they normally would. And in the fall, the girls are playing softball. You have your cross country going on, you know, and along with football. So you have some other fall sports that take place, volleyball. You know, you let those folks come in and start working out and prepping. You know, parents are going to have their concerns. And I think that's not only true at high school. I think that's going to be true in college too.
You talked about Corky Kell. Just revisiting, because this was a watershed moment for these guys, because this was going to be the first year an out-of-state team was coming to play. Now, what?
Not just any out-of-state team.
Well, explain the significance of the one that was coming.
Yeah, as far as we know, they are still coming now.
Right.
You know, because we're talking about Hoover, Alabama, the school south of Birmingham, of course, that was made famous by the two-a-days. Program that was on MTV, was it VH1 MTV years ago, with our friend of the program, Coach Rush Probst, there at the time. He's now
in
Valdosta. You know, so that's a lot of
but
people
it's also,
know this program, you know.
Also the home of the SEC meetings, right, or traditionally.
SEC meetings, and the baseball facility there in Hoover is the home of the SEC baseball tournament. And that's where Michael Jordan played his minor league baseball at the Met in Hoover.
You know, the other thing, and let's not make light of this, that now, that area is a hot spot for the virus.
Well, not just that, but Alabama, period.
Yeah, the state, you know, right, they're sending folks to Birmingham. It's gotten so crazy in the capital.
From Montgomery. Yeah. They're sending people from Montgomery to Birmingham. And, oh, by the way, you're talking about the coronavirus in Alabama. This week they had a thing that took place, Bryant-Denny Stadium. On the campus of Alabama, they're working on that. They got a construction project going on to, I guess, add another wing onto it or restore something on that great facility they have there. And about a dozen workers on that project tested positive for the coronavirus. And I don't know if that, and they had to shut that construction site down. I don't know if they've gone back to working on it or not, but that has happened. Let's just send our thoughts out to someone who's hospitalized with the virus is a former Auburn coach, Pat Dye, who we heard about this week is also battling it. So I know a lot of folks in Alabama are being kind of confronted with this virus in a lot of ways. It's far from done, folks.
It's
far from done. But you know, we're finding ways to deal with it and work around it. Just be smart is the things I would tell anybody. But yeah, folks in Alabama are dealing with that some more than they were in past weeks.
Another name, and we almost look forward to saying just tested positive, because the alternative is what we've heard about Eddie Sutton, and we'll get into that and earlier this week with Jerry Sloan. But word came down about Patrick Ewing, and he tested positive. And Patrick now presently the coach at Georgetown, but one of the most beloved athletes. Forget the sport. Just beloved athletes that this country's produced. And for him to have tested positive, so monitor that. He says he's doing everything he can. He's in the hospital, and he will get past this. But with every day that passes, you hold your breath when you open up, you know, this page or that page, and you're looking hopefully not to see somebody who's left us, and that's not the case. Listen, coming up at 7 o'clock hour, Sam and I are going to get into talking about how you're going to spend this weekend. How are you going to spend this weekend? We're going to talk to a Renaissance man, but up next, we haven't dipped our toe into the world of the NFL. Partly what's going on with the Falcons. So we're going to talk about that next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Good song.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.